snowflakes are falling, mulholms are calling, tall pines are humming when Christmas times are coming. Can't you hear them bells ringing, ringing joy to all? Hear them singing when it's snowing, I'll be going back to
Christmas times are coming. It has arrived. Merry Christmas, everyone. Today you're going to hear a special retelling of It's a Wonderful Life by the Great News Radio Theater Troupe. We received so much great feedback last year that we're going to allow you to enjoy it again today. It'll play in its entirety, a full about an hour and 23 minutes, preempting a few programs, but we think you'll really enjoy this. It was so well done. Almost 50 local cast members under the direction of Kate Freeman, and so we're excited to share it again with you today. I know at this point most Christmas presents have been unwrapped or given out, but if you do make a donation to this radio ministry, we'll be happy to send you It's a Wonderful Life CD, which can become an ongoing blessing to you in the days ahead, or maybe a New Year's Eve gift that you want to hand out to friends and family members, or a special treat you'll just hand to that neighbor or person you work with. Just send in a donation of any size, realizing that it costs about $3 or $4 to mail it to you, but we'll be happy to do that. You can contact us by phone at 217-367-7777 or address your envelope to Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. And may I also suggest, with this new year upon us, subscribing to the Prime Life Times newspaper. It's produced once a month. It's loaded with great content, God-honoring stories, information, puzzles, games, humor, recipes, advice, all sorts of good things, making it great to read and a great gift for yourself or someone you know. So contact us, and for a year subscription, it's $30, and basically that just covers the first-class postage. But I think you'll really enjoy it, or it'll be received as a great gift. Just give us a call, and we can start that subscription right away with December's edition or begin in January. Just let us know. Our phone number is 217-367-7777. You know, Christmas has a way of illuminating joy, peace, and the goodness of people. It's a time to pause, reflecting on our Savior and how His birth brought hope to all mankind. This Christmas, Great News Radio celebrates 22 years of God's faithfulness in bringing His light to the folks and families of East Central Illinois and West Central Indiana and the world through our streaming audio. Since our first day of broadcasts until now, our goals continue to be to educate, edify, and evangelize all who listen, attend our radio events, read our Prime Lifetimes paper, travel with us to special destinations, and get involved in the many community activities and outreaches and gatherings that we host. We thank God for this radio ministry and the unique ways it's being used of Him to further everyone on their faith journey, whether they're senior saints and finishing well, or those taking baby steps towards a faith and a realization that God loves them by following the Lord Jesus Christ. So we so appreciate your support, being 100% listener supported, that we'll continue to do this in the days ahead. All right, here's It's a Wonderful Life in its entirety by the Great News Radio Theater Troupe. Hopefully you can sit back and listen to it for the next hour and 20 or so minutes. It all gets kicked off with the theme song, Whispering Hope, with Tammy Renee Harris.
Soft as a voice of an the gentle persuasion whispers her comforting word. Wait till the darkness is over. Wait till the tempest is done. Hope for the sunshine tomorrow. Whispering hope, oh how I
We are on the air in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is WBFR Playhouse of the Air. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Greetings from WBFR Studio A in Manhattan, New York, right here in the U.S. of A. I'm your host, Freddie Fillmore, and it is my pleasure to bring you your favorite stories this and every week on WBFR Playhouse of the Air. Tonight, we bring you a real feel-good heartwarmer, perfect for this or any Christmas Eve. It's A Wonderful Life. We begin our story in the little town of Bedford Falls, New York, where a number of people in the town are praying for their dear friend, a typical American named George Bailey.
Dear God, please, look over my husband, George.
George is a good boy, you know that. My son has always gone out of his way to give others a hand. Now it's him who needs the help.
Help my big brother, George. He's done so much for all of us. More for me than I remember.
I remember all the times he would stay late after work and not ask a cent. The world needs more like George Bailey.
George Bailey never thinks about himself. I wouldn't have a roof over my head if
it wasn't
for
him. I would have given up long ago. All I think about is myself. I must have taken the last cent he had.
The voices carry heavenward, and Joseph, the superintendent of angels, summons Clarence, an apprentice angel.
Ah, you sent for me, sir?
Yes, Clarence. A man down on Earth needs our help.
Oh, splendid. Is he sick?
No, worse. He's discouraged. At exactly 10:45 p.m. tonight, Earth time, that man will be thinking seriously of throwing away God's greatest gift.
Oh, dear. His life? Why, then I've only half hour to dress. Oh,
Clarence,
what are they wearing now?
Clarence, you will spend that half hour getting acquainted with George Bailey.
Sir, if I should accomplish my mission, might I perhaps win my wings? You know, I've been waiting for over 200 years now, and, well, people are starting to talk.
Excuse me, but what is that book you have with you?
Oh, why, it's The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, sir.
Well, you do a good job with George Bailey, and we'll see about your wings.
Oh, thank you.
Now, if you're going to help George, you'll want to know a little something about him. Look, see the town?
Oh, why, yes, there's some boys sledding down a hill and onto the ice.
Yippee!
Oh, who's that?
That's George Bailey when he was 12, back in 1919. Now, something happens here that you'll have to remember later on.
Here comes the scare baby, my kid brother, Harry Bailey.
I'm not scared.
Help! Help! Help!
Harry's falling through the ice!
I'm coming, Harry! Make a chain, gang!
His brother fell through the ice! George saved him!
Yes, but the icy water gave George a bad ear. It was weeks before he could return to his after-school job at Old Man Gower's drugstore.
It's me, Mr. Gower. George Bailey.
You're late.
Yes, sir. Sorry, sir.
Get to work.
Hi, Violet. Hi, Mary. 2 cents worth of shoelaces, Violet?
Please, Georgie. I like him.
You like every boy.
What's wrong with that?
Here you are.
Bye, Georgie. See you later, Mary.
Made up your mind yet, Mary?
I'll take chocolate.
Coconuts?
I don't like coconuts.
You don't like coconuts? Say, brainless, don't you know where coconuts come from? Look at here, from Tahiti, Fiji Islands, the Coral Sea.
Is that a new magazine? I never saw it before.
Of course you never. Only us explorers can get it. I've been nominated for a membership in the National Geographic Society. Let me get your ice cream.
Is this the day you can't hear on? George Bailey, I'll love you till the day I die.
I'm going exploring someday. Wait and see.
George, you're not paid to be a canary.
Goodbye, George.
Goodbye, Mary.
What was that piece of paper that George just picked up?
It's a telegram for Mr. Gower. He found out this morning that his son died of influenza, and he spent the afternoon drowning his grief in whiskey.
Do you need anything, Mr. Gower?
No.
I'll get them, sir.
Take those capsules over to Mrs. Blaine's.
They have diphtheria there, haven't they?
Oh, get going.
Yes, sir. Mr. Gower, that bottle you used, you put something wrong in those capsules.
Who do you think you're talking to?
You're hurting my sore ear.
Did you hear what I said? Get out of here.
Mr. Gower, you don't know what you're doing. You put something wrong in those capsules. I know you got the telegram and you're upset, but look at the bottle you used, Mr. Gower. It's poison.
Poison?
Oh, don't hit my sore ear again.
What poison? Oh, no, George, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
All I wanted was to make sure, so Mr. Gower. Sorry. I won't ever tell a soul. Hope to die. I won't.
Did he ever tell anybody about those pills?
Not a soul.
Did he ever marry the girl? Did he ever go exploring?
Whoa, we'll get there soon enough, Clarence. George grew up and wanted to go to college, but there just wasn't the money. So he worked 4 years in the Building and Loan Association.
Building and Loan Association?
George's father was in the building and loan business, along with George's Uncle Billy.
George, what's the combination to the safe?
We wrote it down so you wouldn't forget it.
That's right. Where?
Who's that?
That's Henry F. Potter, the richest and meanest man in all the county.
Peter Potter is here.
Mr. Bailey. Yeah, there's nothing quite so loathsome as a family business. And now, Peter, you know what I'm here for. I'm on a very tight schedule, a family to evict at 3.
Okay then, Mr. Potter. Here's the thing. I just need a little more time. I'll dig up that $5,000 somehow.
Have you put any pressure on those people of yours to pay their mortgages?
Times are hard, Mr. Potter. A lot of people are out of work.
Then foreclose.
I can't do that. These families have children.
Are you running a business or a charity ward?
Mr. Potter, what makes you such a hard-skulled character? You have no family, no children. You can't begin to spend all the money you've got.
So I suppose I should give it to miserable failures like you and that idiot brother of yours to spend for me?
You can't call my father a failure.
All right, son. Thanks.
Don't let him say that about you, Pop.
What kind of business are you running here?
George worked and saved enough to see him through the university. But first he was going to Europe. Old man Gower surprised him with a gift of a great big suitcase. On his way home from the store, he ran into his friends Ernie, the cab driver, and Bert, the cop.
Hey, Ernie.
Hey, George.
Hi, Bert.
Hey, George. What's the suitcase for?
I'm a rich tourist today. How about driving me home in style?
Sure, Your Highness. Hop in the cab, and for the carriage trade, I put on my hat.
Good afternoon, Mr. Bailey. Looks like you're ready to get out of here.
Hello, Violet. Hey, you look good. That's some dress.
Oh, this old thing? Why, I only wear it when I don't care how I look. See you later.
Want to come along, Bert? We'll show you the town. No thanks. Think I'll go home and see what the wife's doing.
Family man.
That evening, George had dinner with his father.
Oh boy, my last supper in the Bailey boarding house.
We're sure gonna miss you, George. I wish we could send Harry off to college with you.
We have that all figured out. Harry will take my job at the building and loan for 4 years, then he'll go.
He's pretty young for that job.
No younger than I was.
You were born older, George. I suppose you've already decided what you're going to do when you get out of college?
Well, what I've always talked about. Building things, design new buildings, plan modern cities.
It's just a hope, but you wouldn't consider coming back to the building and loan, would you? I know it's early to talk about that.
Oh, I couldn't face being cooped up for the rest of my life in that shabby little office. I'm sorry, Pop. I didn't mean that remark, but this business of spending all your life trying to figure out how to save 3 cents on a length of pipe, I'd go crazy. I want to do something big and important.
You know, George, I feel that in a small way, we are doing something important. It's not too much for a man to want his own roof and walls and fireplace, and we're helping him get those things in our shabby little office.
Oh, I know, Dad, but most of my friends have already finished college. I just feel like if I don't get away, I'd bust.
You're right, son. This town is no place to live if you're not willing to crawl to Potter. Go ahead. Go to college. Then get out of here.
I'm glad you see what I'm talking about. Say, maybe I'll go say goodbye to Main Street. Last night in town and all.
Have a good time, son.
Hello, Georgie Porgy.
Hello, Vi.
Where are you going?
Oh, well, probably just end up at the library.
Don't you ever get tired of just reading about things?
Yes. What are you doing tonight?
Not a thing, Georgie.
Are you game, Vi? What say we make a night of it?
Oh, I'd love it, Georgie. What do we do?
Let's go out in the fields and take off our shoes and walk in the grass.
What?
Then we can go up to Stewart Lake. It's beautiful up there in the moonlight, and we can swim. Then we can climb Mount Bedford and smell the pines and watch the sunrise against the peaks, and we'll stay up there the whole night, and everybody will be talking, and there will be a terrific scandal.
George, have you gone crazy? Walk in the grass in my bare feet? Why, it's 10 miles up there to Mount Bedford. You think just because you... Oh!
Well, okay, then. Just forget about the whole thing.
Hee-haw! Forget about what, George?
Oh, nothing, Sam.
You remember Mary, don't you?
Hi, George.
Hi, Mary.
Hey, you wouldn't mind walking Mary home, would you, George?
Of course not. Is that okay with you, Mary?
Fine by me.
Great, thanks. Hee-haw!
George walked Mary home. Is that important, Joseph?
I'd say it is, because even though Mary lived only 4 blocks away, it took them 2 hours to get there.
Buffalo gals, won't you come out tonight? Come out tonight, come out tonight. Buffalo gals, won't you come out tonight? And dance by the light of the moon.
Oh, hot dog, oh boy, just like an organ. Gee whiz.
Beautiful.
You know something, if it wasn't me talking, I'd say you were the prettiest girl in town.
Well, why don't you say it?
I don't know, maybe I will. Hey, look where we are.
Oh, the old Granville house.
Oh, yeah, I gotta throw a rock.
Oh, no, don't. I love that old house.
Don't you know about deserted houses? You make a wish and then you throw a rock.
But, George, it's such a lovely old place. I wish I lived there.
Oh, I wouldn't live there if I was a ghost. Now, watch this. Pretty good shot, huh? Broke a window.
What's your wish, George?
Well, not just one wish, a whole hatful of them, Mary. I'm shaking the dust of this crummy little town off my feet, and I'm going to see the world. Italy, Greece, the Parthenon, the Colosseum. Then I'm going to come back here and go to college and see what they know. And then I'm going to build airfields and skyscrapers 100 stories high and bridges 1 mile long. Hey, what? Are you going to throw a rock, too? Hey, that's pretty good. What'd you wish for, Mary?
Oh, no. If I tell you, it may not come true.
What do you want, Mary? Do you want the moon? All you gotta do is just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down.
Okay, I'll take it. And then what?
And then you could swallow it. and it all dissolves, see? And the moonbeams, it shoot out of your fingers and toes and the ends of your hair and the... Am I talking too much?
Yes! Why don't you kiss her instead of talking her to death?
Who's that?
Old man Collins on his front porch.
Oh, youth is wasted on the wrong people.
Hey, mister, come back out here and I'll show you some kissing that'll put hair back on your head.
George!
Uncle Billy!
George, get in the car quick. Your father had a stroke.
I'm sorry. I've got to go, Mary.
George's father died that night, Clarence, so George couldn't go to Europe. That fall, just as he was ready to leave for college, the directors of the building and loan held a meeting. They were going to appoint a successor.
So who should be a successor? Who can do this to
Dr. Campbell? I want the board to know that George gave up his trip to Europe to help straighten things out here these past few months, and it was greatly appreciated. I think that's all we'll need you for, George. Good luck to you at school. I know you're anxious to make a train.
Yes, I have a taxi waiting downstairs.
Yeah, good luck. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to get to my real purpose. I claim this institution is not necessary to this town. Therefore, Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to dissolve the building and loan.
It's too soon after Peter Bailey's death to discuss chloroforming the building and loan. His faith and devotion are responsible for this organization.
Oh, I'll go further than that. I'll say Peter Bailey was the building and loan.
Oh, that's fine, Potter, coming from you, considering that you drove him to his grave.
Peter Bailey was not a businessman. That's what killed him. He was a man of high ideals without common sense. And what does that get us but a discontented, lazy rabble instead of a thrifty working class? All because a few starry-eyed dreamers like Peter Bailey stir them up and fill their heads with a lot of impossible hooey. Now I say...
Now, just a minute, Mr. Potter. You're right when you say my father was no businessman. Why he ever started this building and loan, I'll never know. But you can't say anything against his character. Why, in the 25 years since he and Uncle Billy started this thing, he never once thought of himself. But he did help a few people get out of your slums, Mr. Potter. And just remember that this rabble you're talking about do most of the working and paying and living and dying in this community. Well, is it too much to have them work and pay and live and die in a couple of decent rooms and a bath? My father didn't think so. People were human beings to him, but to you, a warped, frustrated old man, they're cattle. In my book, he died a much richer man than you'll ever be.
I'm not interested in your book.
Oh, well, I've said too much. You're the board. You do what you want with this thing. But just remember that this town needs this measly one-horse institution, if only to have some place where people can come without crawling to Potter. Come on, Uncle Billy.
Sentimental hogwash. I want my motion.
They're just coming out of the board meeting. I'll have to call you back. What happened, George? All we heard was yelling.
Boy, oh boy, Matilda, you should have heard George.
Yeah, they're voting us down in there.
Yeah, they're putting us out of business. So what? I can get another job. I'm only 52.
You're 58.
George, they voted Potter down.
We're still in business!
Under one condition. That you take your father's place, George.
Now, wait a minute. I'm going to college. Uncle Billy here. He's your man.
You can keep him on. That's all right.
I'm going to school. This is my last chance.
But, George, they'll vote with Potter otherwise.
So, George Bailey didn't go to college.
That's right, Clarence. He gave his college money to his brother instead and waited 4 years for Harry to come back and take over the building and loan. Then he could still see the world.
are she blown. Sam, Billy, you know what the three most wonderful sounds on Earth are?
Breakfast is served, lunch is served, dinner is served.
No anchor chains, plane motors, and train whistles. Here's the professor now.
Well, if it isn't George Geographic Explorer Bailey. Uncle Billy, you haven't changed a bit.
Oh, am I glad to see you.
Where's Mother?
She's home cooking the fatted calf. Come on, let's go.
Oh, wait. This is Ruth Dakin.
Ruth Dakin Bailey, if you don't mind.
I wired you. I had a surprise. Well, here she is. Meet the wife.
Well, what do you know? Wife.
Congratulations, Harry. Why didn't you tell somebody? What's a pretty girl like you doing marrying this two-headed brother of mine?
It's purely mercenary. My father offered him a job.
Oh, he gets you and a job? Harry's cup runneth over. Come on, Ruth, let's start ahead and leave the bags for the fellas.
All right.
George, about that job. I never said I'd take it. You've been holding the bag here for 4 years, and I won't let you down.
And that night, the homecoming for Harry became his wedding party, during which Uncle Billy familiarized himself with the spirits.
Oh boy, I feel so good. I could spit in Potter's eye. I think I will. What do you say? Maybe I should go home. If you just point me in the right direction.
Right over there.
That way. Okay, old building and loan pal, I'll see you later. I'm all right, I'm all right.
George?
Out here on the porch, Mother.
Well, how do you like your new sister-in-law?
She's swell.
Looks like she'll keep Harry on his toes.
Yeah, keep him out of Bedford Falls, anyway.
George, do you know Mary Hatch is back from school?
Yeah.
Nice girl, Mary. The kind who will help you find all the answers.
Uh-huh.
Give me one good reason you shouldn't call on her.
Well, Sam Wainwright. Sam's crazy about her.
Well, she's not crazy about him.
How do you know that? Did she discuss it with you?
Besides, Sam's in New York, and you're here in Bedford Falls.
And all's fair in love and war, huh?
I don't know about war.
All right, Mother, I think I'll go out and find the girl and do a little passionate necking.
Oh, George.
Bye, Mrs. Bailey. By the way, do you want any books at the library?
The library? George, you go and see Mary, you hear?
Hello, George.
Hello, Mary. Just happened to be passing by.
Your mother just phoned and said you were on your way.
Well, my mother just called you? How did she know? I just went for a walk and I happened to be passing by. When did you get back?
Tuesday. Would you like to come in?
Well, I guess, since I'm here. Where'd you get that dress?
Do you like it?
It's all right. I thought you'd go back to New York with Sam and the rest of them.
Oh, I worked there a couple of vacations, but I don't know. I guess I was homesick.
Homesick for Bedford Falls?
Yes, and my family and everything.
I still can't understand it, though. I didn't tell anybody I was coming here.
Would you rather leave?
Well, I don't want to be rude.
It was nice about Harry and Ruth, wasn't it?
Oh. Yeah, that's all right.
Don't you like her?
Well, of course I like her. She's a peach.
It's just marriage in general you're not that enthusiastic about?
No, marriage is okay for Harry and Sam and you.
Mary, who are you talking to?
It's George Bailey, Mother.
George Bailey? What does he want?
I don't know. What do you want, George?
Me? Not a thing. I just came in to get warm.
He's making violent love to me, Mother.
You tell him to go right back home. Sam Wainwright promised to call from New York tonight, didn't he?
Well, your mother needn't... I didn't come here for...
What did you come here for?
Well, you're supposed to be the one who has all the answers. You tell me.
Oh, why don't you go home?
Well, that's where I'm going.
Mary, the telephone. It's Sam.
I'll get it. Hee-haw. Hello, Sam. How are you?
Oh, great. Gee, it's good to hear your voice again, Mary.
Oh, well, that's awfully sweet of you, Sam. There's an old friend of yours here, George Bailey.
You mean old Mossback George? Hee-haw. Put him on.
Oh, wait a minute. I'll call him. George!
He doesn't want to speak to George.
He asked for him. George, Sam wants to speak to you.
Hello, Sam.
Hey, a fine pal you are. What are you, trying to steal my girl?
Nobody's trying to steal your girl.
Hey, I want to talk to both of you. Tell Mary to get on the extension.
Mother's on the extension.
I am not.
We can hear you. George, put your head a little closer.
Okay.
There. That's better. We're listening, Sam.
I have a big deal coming up that's going to make us all rich. George, you remember that night at Martini's Bar when you told me about making plastics out of soybeans?
Huh? Yeah, soybeans.
Well, my father's checked into it and wants to build a factory outside of Rochester. How do you like that?
Why Rochester?
Why not? Can you think of anything better?
Well, why not right here in Bedford Falls? You remember that old Tool and Machinery Works? You tell your father he can get that for a song, and all the labor he wants, too. Half the town was thrown out of work when they closed down.
That's so. Well, that sounds great. Now, here's the point, George. I have a job for you. Well, that is, unless you're still married to that old broken-down building and loan. Old Mary?
I'm here.
Tell that guy I'm giving him a chance of a lifetime.
He says it's the chance of a lifetime.
Give me that phone. Now you listen to me, Mary. I don't want any plastics, and I don't want any job. And I don't want to get married, ever, to anyone. Do you understand that? I want to do what I want to do, and you're not going to... Oh, Mary.
George!
I love you.
George, I love you too.
George and Mary were married, and following the wedding and reception, George's old pal Ernie the cab driver drove the happy couple to the train station.
Where are you two off to on this here now, Bermuda?
We're going to shoot the works a whole week in New York, then Bermuda. The highest hotels, the oldest champagne, the richest caviar, the hottest music, and the prettiest wife.
Here's the kitty, Ernie. $2,000. I feel like a bootlegger's wife.
Well, finally getting out of Bedford Falls, huh? Then what?
Then what, honey?
After that, who cares?
Hey, George, there's something funny going on over there. Look over there at the bank. It looks like a run.
Wait, now pull over a minute, would you, Ernie?
George, let's not stop. Please, let's go straight to the station.
Oh, no, wait a minute. I better go and see what it is. I'll be right back. Hey, now what is this, Uncle Billy? Is this a holiday? Why are the doors locked? There's a crowd out front.
This is a pickle, George.
What happened?
The bank called our loan, and I had to hand out all of our cash.
All of it?
Every last cent of it.
Holy mackerel.
And then I got scared, George.
Open the door, Uncle Billy. Just let him in.
Oh. Hey, about time. We're way out here.
Now, everybody, just remember that this thing isn't... As black as it appears.
Where's our money, George?
You're thinking of this place all wrong, Ed. The money's not here. Your money's in people's houses, in the Kennedy house, in the McLaren house, and 100 others. Now, what are you going to do, foreclose on them?
I got $242 in here, and $242 isn't going to break anybody.
All right, Charlie, you'll get your money in 60 days.
60 days?
That's what you agreed to when you bought your shares.
I got my money. Old man Potter's taking over the bank. He'll pay you 50 cents on every dollar.
50 cents on a dollar? Whoa, that's a lot.
Now, hold on, everybody. If Potter gets a hold of your shares, he'll own this building and loan. He's got the bank, he's got the bus line, he's got the department stores, and now he's after us. Because he wants us to keep you living in his shacks and paying the kind of rent he decides to charge. Now, we can get through this all right, but we've got to have faith in each other.
My husband's out of work. We need the money.
I got doctor bills to pay.
How much do you need? We've got $2,000 from the wedding.
Hey, Mary! I got $2,000 here. This'll tide us over until the bank reopens. All right, Charlie, how much do you need?
$242.
Come on, Charlie, just enough to tide you over.
I'll take $242.
Okay, Uncle Billy. Give Charlie $242. All right, Ed, now how much just to get by?
$20, I suppose.
Now we're talking. Mrs. Thompson, how about you?
But it's your own money, George.
Never mind that now. How much, Mrs. Thompson?
Could I have $17.50?
Oh, bless your heart. Of course you can have it. Uncle Billy, give her $17.50. Now pay it back when you can. All right, who's next?
Look at the clock. Look!
5 seconds, 4 seconds, 3, 2, 1, 6 o'clock! We made it! Lock that door, Uncle Billy. We're still in business!
Bailey Brothers building and... Oh, just a minute. George, there's a call for you.
Look, will you get my wife on the phone? She's probably over at her mother's.
Mrs. Bailey's on the phone.
Well, I don't want Mrs. Bailey. I want my wife. Oh, Mrs. Bailey. Oh, that is my wife. Mary? Hello. Listen, dear, I'm sorry. What? Come home? What home? 320 Sycamore. Well, what? Whose home is that? The Waldorf Hotel, huh?
That doesn't look like the Waldorf.
Oh, no. Number 320 Sycamore was the old Granville house, the one that George and Mary threw rocks at and made wishes. Mary had prepared the house, including a turkey dinner, romantic decorations, and even a marriage bed.
Welcome home, Mr. Bailey.
Well, I'll be.
Remember the night we broke the windows in this old house? This is what I wished for.
Darling, you're wonderful.
Yes, sir. That's where they spent their honeymoon. That's where they started their lives together. Mary made the leaky old house a home, while George toiled away at the building and loan office. And Bailey houses started popping up all over the place, mostly owned by people that used to live in Potter's Field. And Potter had had just about enough of that. So after a couple of years, old man Potter decided to call our George into his office.
Sit down, George. Sit down. Have a cigar?
Well, thank you, sir. That's quite a cigar, Mr. Potter.
Oh, you like it. I'll send you a box.
Well, I suppose I'll find out sooner or later, but just what exactly did you want to see me about?
George, now that's just what I like so much about you. George, you see, I'm an old man, and most people hate me. But I don't like them either, so that makes it all even. You know just as well as I do that I run practically everything in this town, but the Bailey Building and Loan. You know also that for a number of years I've been trying to get control of it, or kill it, but I haven't been able to do it. You've been stopping me. In fact, you've beaten me, George, and that takes some doing. Take during the Depression, for instance. You and I were the only ones that kept our heads. You saved the building and loan, and I saved all the rest.
Yes, but... Most people say you stole all the rest.
The envious ones say that, George. The suckers. Now, let's look at your side. Young man, 27, 28, married, making 40 a week?
45.
45.
45.
Now, if you were some ordinary yokel, I'd say you're doing fine. But George Bailey is intelligent, ambitious. He hates the building and loan almost as much as I do. He's been dying to get out of town ever since he was born. a young man, the smartest one of the crowd, mind you, who has to sit by and watch his friends go places. Because he's trapped. Trapped into frittering his life away, playing nursemaid to a lot of garlic eaters. Do I paint a correct picture, George, or do I exaggerate?
What's your point, Mr. Potter?
My point is, George, you're the only man in town who's licked me. I want to hire you. Manage my affairs. I'll start you out at $20,000 a year.
$20,000 a year?
You wouldn't mind living in the nicest house in town, buying your wife a lot of fine clothes, a couple of business trips to New York a year, maybe once in a while Europe. You wouldn't mind that, would you, George?
Would I? You're not talking to somebody else around here, are you? Are you sure you're talking to me? I'm George Bailey. Don't you remember me, the building and loan, remember?
Yes, George Bailey, whose ship has just come in, providing he has brains enough to climb aboard.
Well, what about the building and loan?
Oh, confound it, man. I'm offering you a 3-year contract at $20,000 a year. Is it a deal or isn't it?
Now, Mr. Potter, I know I ought to jump at the chance, but I wonder if you might give me 24 hours to think about it.
Sure, sure, sure. You go home and talk to your wife.
Yeah, I'd like that.
In the meantime, I'll draw up the papers, and soon you'll be managing my affairs.
Your affairs? Your affairs? No. No, I don't need 24 hours. The answer's no, doggone it. You sit around here and you spin your little webs and you think the whole world revolves around you and your money. Well, it doesn't, Mr. Potter. In the whole vast configuration of things, I'd say you were nothing but a scurvy little spider.
What did Mr. Potter want, George?
Oh, nothing. Nothing. Just talk. Nothing. Oh, gee, Mary Hatch, why in the world would you ever want to marry a guy like me anyway?
To keep from being an old maid.
I was going to give you the moon, but what have I given you? Not even a new dress. Not for months. You could have married Sam Wainwright. You could have married anybody else in town.
I didn't want to marry anybody else in town. I want my baby to look like you.
You didn't even have a honeymoon. I promised you... Your what?
My baby.
You mean... Mary, you're on the nest?
George Bailey lassos the stork.
Well, Mary had her baby. A boy.
You don't say.
Then she had a girl. Night after night, George would come home late from the office. Things weren't good with the building and loan. Potter was bearing down hard. Then came the war. Mary had another baby by then, but still had time to run the USO. Gower and Uncle Billy sold war bonds. Violet entertained the troops. Bert the cop was wounded in North Africa, got the Silver Star. Ernie the taxi driver parachuted into France. But Harry Bailey topped them all. A Navy flyer, he shot down 15 planes, 2 of them as they were about to crash into a transport full of soldiers.
But what about George?
4F, on account of his ear. George fought the Battle of Bedford Falls. Air raid warden, paper drives, scrap drives, rubber drives. On VE Day, he wept and prayed. On VJ Day, he wept and prayed again.
We're getting pretty close to today, aren't we, sir?
Yes, Clarence. You now know almost everything you need to know about George Bailey. All except what happens that finds him down there at this moment, wanting to die. Today's the day before Christmas, and Billy's at the bank to make a deposit when he runs into Potter.
Well, 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 Mr. Henry F. Potter, come to the bank to deposit some more loot? How do you like the news in the paper, Mr. Potter? Harry Bailey wins Congressional Medal of Honor.
Let me see that newspaper.
Here you go. Go on, keep it. I'm off to make a deposit.
Well, well, well. Look what I found. Let's go to the back.
Good morning, Mr. Bailey.
Good morning, Horace. Here you are. Deposit slip, bank book, and a very Merry Christmas to you.
You too, Mr. Bailey. You want to make a deposit?
Well, certainly.
Well, it's customary to bring the money with you.
It's gone. Where did I put it? Where did I put that money?
A terrible thing, Clarence. Uncle Billy couldn't find the money because the envelope with the $8,000 was folded up in that newspaper he gave to Old Man Potter. At the same time as Billy started looking for the deposit, Violet came to visit George at the building and loan.
Oh, hello, Vi. What's wrong?
You see right through me, don't you?
How much do you need?
I hate doing this to you, George, but I won't be asking for any more after this.
You planning on robbing a bank, Vi?
I'm going to Manhattan.
What's in Manhattan?
Why, everything's in Manhattan. A new start, at least.
That's a big step, Vi. What's the matter with starting a new life right here in Bedford Falls?
Well, I'll be. Never thought I'd hear that from you, George Bailey. I thought you hated this place.
I did, but this town has a charm of its own.
Nah, I've made a decision. There's a midnight train tonight, and I plan to be on it.
It takes a lot of character to leave your hometown and start all over again. Here, now here's some dough.
Oh, no, George, don't.
Now, what do you want to do? Hawk your furs and that hat? You want to walk to New York? You know they charge for meals and rent there just same as they do here in Bedford Falls.
Yeah, sure.
It's a loan. That's my business. Building and loan. Besides, you'll get a job. Good luck to you.
I'm glad I know you, George Bailey. Merry Christmas.
George!
Now, what's the matter, Uncle Billy?
The money, the $8,000,
Billy? What happened to it?
I thought I had it. I just don't know what happened.
Now well, the first place you'll look is in your coat pocket. I told you to put it there when you left.
After hours of looking for the money, Uncle Billy and George came to an impasse.
Oh, I'm no good to you, George. I'm no good.
Well, Uncle Billy, we've got to find that money. Think!
I can't think anymore, George. It hurts.
Where's that money, you stupid, silly old fool? Do you realize what this means? It means bankruptcy and scandal and prison. One of us is going to jail. Well, it's not gonna be me. Left him at the office.
Isn't it wonderful about Harry? We're famous, George. I'll bet I had 50 calls today about the parade and banquet.
Must she keep playing that?
I have to practice for the party tonight, Daddy.
Mommy says we can stay up until midnight and sing Christmas carols.
Better hurry and shave. The families will be here soon.
The families? I don't want the families over here.
Excuse me.
Have a hectic day.
Oh, yeah, another big red-letter day for the Baileys.
Daddy, the Browns next door have a new car. You should see it.
Well, what's the matter with our car? Isn't it good enough for you?
Yes, Daddy. Excuse me, excuse me.
Excuse you for what?
I burped.
All right, darling. You're excused. Now, go upstairs and see what little Zuzu wants.
What's the matter with Zuzu?
Oh, she caught a cold coming home from school. They gave her a flower, and she didn't want to crush it, so she didn't button up her coat. The doctor says it's nothing serious.
Was the doctor here?
I called him right away.
Is she running a temperature?
Just a teensy one.
Oh, gosh, it's this old house. I don't know why we don't all have pneumonia, this drafty old barn. We might as well be living in a refrigerator. Why'd we have to live here in the first place and stay around this measly, crummy old town?
George, what's wrong?
Everything's wrong. You call this a happy family? Why'd we have to have all these kids?
Dad, how do you spell frankincense?
Oh, I don't know. Ask your mother.
Where are you going?
Up to see Zuzu.
Hi, Daddy.
Well, what happened to you?
I want a flower.
Where do you think you're going?
I want to give my flower a drink.
Here, now. Now give Daddy the flower. I'll give it a drink.
Look, Daddy, some of its petals came off. Paste it.
Oh, all right, now. Now there it is. It's good as new.
Give the flower a drink.
Okay, now will you try to get some sleep?
I'm not sleepy. I want to look at my flower.
I know, but you just go to sleep, and then you can dream about it, and it'll be a whole garden.
It will?
Uh-huh.
Telephone!
I'll get it. Hello? Yes, this is Mrs. Bailey. Oh, thank you, Mrs. Welch. The doctor says she'll be out of bed in time for her Christmas dinner.
Is that Zuzu's teacher?
Yes.
Let me speak to her. Hello, Mrs. Welch. This is George Bailey. Say, what kind of teacher are you anyway? What do you mean sending her home like that half-naked?
George!
Is this the sort of thing we pay taxes for, to have teachers like you? Silly, stupid, careless people who send our kids home without any clothes on. Oh, that's stupid.
Hello, Mrs. Welch? I want to apologize for... She hung up.
I'll hang her up.
Hey, who do you think you are?
Hello? Who is this?
Mr. Welch.
Oh, Mr. Welch. That's fine, Mr. Welch. Gives me a chance to tell you what I really think of your wife.
George.
Will you let me handle this? Hello? Oh, you will, huh? Okay, Mr. Welch. Anytime you think you're man enough, you can... Hello?
Daddy, how do you spell hallelujah?
What do you think I am, a dictionary? Janie, haven't you learned that silly tune yet? You play it over and over again. Now stop it! Stop it!
George, what are you doing?
I'm sorry, Mary. Janie, I didn't mean... You go on and practice. Pete, I owe you an apology, too. What did you want to know?
Nothing, Daddy.
Well, what's the matter with everybody? Janie, go on. I told you to practice. Now go on. Play.
Oh, Daddy.
George, why must you torture the children? Why don't you just...
Mary.
Where's Daddy going?
Bedford, 247, please.
Is Daddy in trouble?
Yes, Pete.
Shall I pray for him?
Yes, Janie, pray very hard.
Me too?
You too, Tommy. Hello, Uncle Billy?
So, that's it, George? You're short $8,000?
I'll pay any sort of interest, Mr. Potter. If you still want the building and loan...
You say it was lost. Did you notify the police?
No, I haven't. With Harry's homecoming tomorrow, well,
why come to me? Why not go to Sam Wainwright?
I can't get a hold of him. He's in Europe.
What kind of security would I have, George?
I have a $15,000 life insurance policy.
How much is your equity in it?
$500.
Huh. And you want $8,000. You used to be so cocky. You were going to go out and conquer the world. You once called me a warped, frustrated old man. What are you but a warped, frustrated young man crawling in here on your hands and knees for help? You're worth more dead than you're alive.
I'll do anything, Mr. Potter. Please help me.
You know what I'm going to do for you? As a stockholder of the building and loan, I'm calling the state examiner to get a warrant for your arrest. Misappropriation of funds. Manipulation. Malfeasance. Go on and run! You can't hide in a little town like this!
Thank you.
job.
Where's George, sir?
Well, after running out of Potter's office, George ended up at Martini's bar. He's had a couple of drinks, and he's just sitting there.
What's he saying?
Shh, shh. Listen.
Dear Father in Heaven, I'm not a praying man, but if you're up there and you can hear me, just show me the way.
Are you all right, George?
Why you drink so much, my friend? You don't feel good. Please go home, Mr. Bailey.
Bailey? Which Bailey?
This gentleman is a Mr. George Bailey.
George Bailey, huh? The next time you talk to my wife like that, you'll get worse. It isn't enough she slaves teaching her stupid kids how to read and write. You've got to ball her out.
Hey, you get out of here, Mr. Welch. You hit my best friend.
Oh, all right.
Oh, Mr. Bailey, you okay?
Who was that?
Oh, that was Mr. Welch, but don't you worry. He don't come into this place no more. I'll get something for your face. It's bleeding.
I'm all right.
Oh, no. Please don't go away, Mr. Bailey. Please, don't.
George is headed to the bridge now, Clarence. Can you see him?
He looks like he's gonna jump.
It's time, Clarence.
Help! Help me! I can't swim!
Hold it, mister! I'm coming!
Help!
Help! What in the hell are the two of you doing? Get out of that water!
Are the two of you all right? You need a doctor?
I'm all right.
I'm fine. This underwear. I didn't have time to get anything stylish. My wife gave this to me on my last birthday. I passed away in it.
Passed away?
Oh, I see Tom Sawyer's drying out, too.
Who?
My book. I left in such a hurry, I brought Tom Sawyer with me. You really should read the new book Mark Twain's working on.
How'd you happen to fall in?
Well, I jumped in so you wouldn't go through with it.
Go through with what?
Suicide.
Suicide's against the law around here.
Well, it's against the law where I come from, too.
Where do you come from?
Heaven.
What?
I had to act quickly. That's why I jumped in. I knew if I were drowning, you'd try to save me. And you did. And that's how I saved you.
Very funny.
Well, your lip's bleeding, George.
I got a bust in the jaw in answer to a prayer.
Oh, no, George. I'm the answer to your prayer.
How do you know my name?
I know all about you.
What are you, a mind reader or something?
Oh, no. My name's Clarence Oddbody, AS2.
Oddbody? AS2. What's that AS2?
Angel, second class.
What? You may not need a doctor, but I do.
Cheerio, my good man.
Hey, look here. Why'd you want to try and save me?
'Cause I'm your guardian angel.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Ridiculous you to think of killing yourself for $8,000.
How do you know things like that?
I told you, I'm your guardian angel.
Well, you look like about the kind of angel I'd get. Sort of a fallen angel, aren't you? What happened to your wings?
I haven't got my wings yet. That's why I'm angel second class. But you could help me earn them by letting me help you.
You don't happen to have 8,000 bucks on you, do you?
Oh, no. We don't use money in heaven.
Well, it comes in pretty handy down here, bub. I found it out a little late. I'm worth more dead than alive.
I won't get my wings with that attitude. You just don't know all that you've done. Why, if it hadn't been for you...
If it hadn't been for me, everybody'd be a lot better off. My wife and my kids and my friends.
This isn't gonna be easy.
They'd all be better off if I hadn't been born.
Wait, what did you say?
I said I wish I'd never been born.
George, that's wonderful.
Wonderful?
The idea you just gave me. That would do it. Okay. There. You've got your wish. You've never been born. You don't have to make such a big deal out of it.
Never been born?
Exactly. No worries. No $8,000 to get. Nothing. You simply don't exist.
Well, wait a minute. Say something else in this ear of mine.
That's right. You can hear out of it. Don't you see? You're nobody.
Well, that's the doggonest thing.
And your lips stop bleeding too, George.
What do you know? What happened? I need a drink. What about you, Angel? Do you want a drink?
Well, I don't know.
Come on, we'll go as soon as our clothes are dry.
Our clothes are dry.
Huh. That stove's hotter than I thought. Well, look, let's get dressed and we'll stroll over to Martini's and... Oh, excuse me, I'll stroll you fly.
I haven't got my wings.
There's a place to sit down. Welcome to the best bar in Bedford Falls.
Bedford Falls? Don't you mean Pottersville?
Pottersville? Hey, where's Martini, your boss?
Look, I'm the boss. You want a drink or don't you?
Okay, all right. Double bourbon, quick, huh?
What's yours, bud?
I was just thinking of mulled wine. Heavy on the cinnamon, light on the cloves. Be lively, my man. Off with you.
Look, mister, we serve hard drinks in here for men who want to get drunk fast. And we don't need any characters around to give the joint atmosphere.
Now, Nick, just give him the same as I ordered. He's okay.
Two double bourbon.
What is it about this place? It seems to have changed.
All of Bedford Falls has changed. You're having your wish, George. You've never been born. There'll be lots of things you've never seen before. Oh, good. Somebody just made it. Every time you hear a bell ring, it means some angel just got his wings.
What did you say?
Now, Clarence, you better not talk about angels around here.
Don't they believe in angels?
Well, maybe they believe in them, but, you know.
So why should they be surprised when they see one?
Now, don't mind him, Nick. He never grew up. How old are you anyway, Clarence?
293 next May.
That does it. Out you two pixies go, through the door or out the window. Well, well, well. Look who crawled out from under whatever hole he's been hiding.
Hey, it's Mr. Gower.
Didn't I tell you never to come panhandling around here?
Mr. Gower, this is George Bailey. Don't you know me?
Buy me a drink, mister. Please, just one drink. Please, mister.
Binky, throw the rummy out.
You got it.
Hey, Nick, isn't that Mr. Gower, the druggist?
That rumhead spent 20 years in jail for poisoning some kid. If you know him, you must be a jailbird yourself. Binky, here's two more. Get him out of here.
You got it, boss.
What's wrong with Mr. Gower?
He doesn't know you, George. You weren't there to stop him from putting the poison into that prescription.
What do you mean I wasn't there? What are you, a hypnotist? Why am I seeing all these strange things here?
Well, it's because you were never born.
And if I wasn't born, who am I?
Nobody. You have no identity.
What do you mean? My name's George Bailey.
There is no George Bailey. You have no papers, no cards, no driver's license, no 4F card, no insurance policy.
Zuzu's petals. My little girl, some petals fell off her flower. I told her I'd fix it, and I stuck them in my pocket. But they're gone, too. Everything is gone.
You've been given a great gift, George. The chance to see what the world would be like without you.
Oh, you're as crazy as a bedbug, and you're driving me crazy, too. Now leave me alone. I'm going home to my wife and family.
Know the drill. Hands behind your back, sister.
Hey, why don't you bust somebody else for a change?
Hey, officer, where did the building and loan move to?
Building and what?
The Bailey building and loan. It was in that building.
Well, they went out of business years ago. Now all that's left is this burlesque house.
Not so fast, copper. I know Potter.
Hey, Violet. Hey, that's Violet Bick.
Believe me, I know.
I know that girl.
Well, who doesn't? Now get out of our way.
Taxi! Hey, Ernie, take me home. I'm going off my nut.
Where do you live?
Doggone it, Ernie. Don't you start pulling that stuff. You know where I live. 320 Sycamore. Now hurry up.
Okay. 320 Sycamore.
Ernie, now straighten me out here. I've got some bad liquor or something. Now listen. Now you're Ernie Bishop, and you live in Bailey Park with your wife and kid, right?
You see my wife?
I've seen your wife. I've been to your house 100 times.
What's the idea? I live in a shack in Potter's Field, and my wife ran off 3 years ago and took the kid. And I never seen you before in my life.
Okay, just step on it. Just get me home.
Is this the place?
Of course it's the place.
This house ain't been lived in for 20 years.
Mary! Pete! Tommy, Janie, Zuzu, I'm home.
They're not here, George. You have no children.
What have you done with them, Clarence?
All right, put your hands up, both of you. No fast moves.
Bert! Bert, thank heaven you're here. Bert, what's happened to this house? Where's Mary and my kids?
Now come with me. I'm going to take you down to the station.
Bert, listen to me. That fellow there says he's an angel.
Now don't make me use my nightstick.
Oh, Bert, I hate to do this to you, but...
Run! George, run!
Mom Bailey's boarding house. Mother?
Mother? What do you want?
Mother, I'm George. I thought sure you'd remember me.
If you're looking for a room, there's no vacancy.
Mother, please try to understand. Something's happened to me, and I need a place to stay. Please let me stay here.
I don't take in strangers.
I'm not a stranger. I know everybody you know. Your brother-in-law, Uncle Billy.
Okay. When'd you see him last?
Today, over at his house.
That's a lie. He's been in the insane asylum ever since he lost his business. And if you ask me, that's where you belong.
I'm back again, George.
My own mother didn't even know me.
One man's life touches so many others. When he isn't around, he leaves a pretty big hole, doesn't he?
All right, now look, you. I've heard of things like this before. You've got me under a some kind of a spell. Well, I'm going to snap out of it. Now let me think. Bailey Park.
There is no Bailey Park if you weren't here to build it.
We'll see about that. What's this graveyard doing here where Bailey Park is supposed to be? Look at this gravestone. Why is my brother Harry's name here?
Harry broke through the ice and drowned at age 9.
That's a lie. Harry Bailey went to war. He got the Congressional Medal of Honor. He saved the lives of every man on that transport.
Every man on that transport died. Harry wasn't there to save them because you weren't there to save Harry. You see, George... You really had a wonderful life. Don't you see what a mistake it would be to throw it away?
What happened to Mary, Clarence?
I'm not supposed to tell you, George.
I don't know how you know the things you do, but please, just let me see her. Where is she?
You're not going to like it, George. She's an old maid.
What? Where is she?
She's just about to close up the library. Oh, there must be an easier way to earn my wings.
Is the library closed?
It's Christmas Eve. We can't stay open all night.
Oh, Mary, I'm so sorry.
How do you know my name?
Please, just 2 minutes, Mary. That's all I need.
You sound desperate. I'll help if I can. What is it?
Isn't this town Bedford Falls?
It used to be. But then Potter was elected and renamed the town Pottersville.
Oh, Mary Hatch, you live in a white Victorian on Reed Street with your mother and you have an older brother named Marty.
How do you know all this? Get your hands off of me. I'll call a cop.
Oh, don't you know me? You must. Mary, it's George. Oh, please don't do this to me, Mary. Where are our kids? I need you, Mary.
Get away from me. Help, please.
It's George. Please, Mary, you're my wife.
Hey, who's he? Hey, mister, leave her alone.
Hello?
Clarence. Get me back. I don't care what happens to me. Only get me back to my wife and kids. Help me, Clarence, please. I want to live again. Oh, God. Please, please just let me live again.
George. Is that you, George?
Bert, you come any closer and I'll hit you again.
What the Sam Hill are you yelling for, George?
George? Bert, do you know me?
Know you? I've been looking all over town for you.
I'm alive again, Bert!
You sure you're all right? Your mouth's bleeding.
It is? Hey! My mouth's bleeding, Bert! My mouth's bleeding! Zuzu's petals! There they are! What do you know about that? Merry Christmas, Bert!
Well, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Bedford Falls! Hey, Merry Christmas, you wonderful old building and loan! Merry Christmas, Mr. Potter!
Merry Christmas, George! Go on home. Sheriff's waiting for you.
Mary, I'm home. Hey, what is this? Merry Christmas, everyone!
George, I've got a little paper here.
I'll bet it's a warrant for my arrest. Isn't that wonderful? Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas, Daddy.
Kids! Pete, Janie, Tommy, Zuzu. Oh, I could eat you up. Where's your mother?
She went looking for you with Uncle Billy.
George, darling, where have you been? Oh, George.
Mary, you're real. You have no idea what's happened.
You have no idea what's happened either. Come on, George, quick. They're on their way.
Who's on their way? The police department, the FBI, the National Guard? Let them all in. I'm alive again, Mary.
Now, you stand right over here by the tree and don't move. George, it's a miracle.
Come in, Uncle Billy. Everybody, in here.
Isn't it wonderful? Mary did it, George. She told a few people you were in trouble, and they scattered all over town collecting money. They didn't ask any questions. They just said, if George is in trouble, you can count on me. You never saw anything like it.
Here you go, $242. Merry Christmas.
I busted the jukebox, too.
Mr. Gower.
I made the rounds on all my charge accounts.
Pilot Bick.
I'm not going to go, George. I changed my mind.
I've been saving this money for a divorce if I ever get a husband.
Quiet, everybody. Quiet. A telegram from London.
Oh, London.
Mr. Gower cables you need cash. Stop. My office instructs you to advance up to $25,000. Stop. Hee-haw and Merry Christmas, Sam Wainwright.
Hark the herald angels sing. To the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the
Harry!
Mary, it's like I got here too late.
Harry, how about your banquet in Washington?
I left as soon as I got Mary's telegram.
How about some wine?
Good idea. A toast to my big brother George, the richest man in town.
Tom Sawyer.
Look, there's an inscription.
George, remember, no man is a failure who has friends. Thanks for the wings. Love, Clarence.
What's that?
A Christmas present from a very dear friend of mine.
Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
That's right, Susan, that's right. Attaboy, Clarence.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind?
This has been WBFR Playhouse of the Air's presentation of It's a Wonderful Life. Please stay tuned for a program of popular holiday music. This is Freddie Fillmore signing off for WBFR in New York City and wishing you and yours a very Merry Christmas. Good night.
For Auld Lang Syne, my dear, for Auld Lang Syne, we'll take a cup of kindness yet, for Auld Lang Syne.
What a fantastic job by the Great News Radio Theater Troupe under the direction of Kate Freeman. But let's let Freddie Fillmore come back on as he highlights the cast with acknowledgments.
Stage manager, played by Mark Burns. Freddie Fillmore, also called announcer, played by yours truly, Larry Stevens. Mary, played by Melinda Miller. Rose Bailey, by Jennifer Garan. Harry Bailey, played by Reed Harvey. Old Man Gower, played by Justin Klett. Bert, played by David Gulliford. Violet Bick, by Naomi Rakowski. Clarence, by Tad Jagich. Joseph, played by Les Joya. Young George, played by Evan Unziker. Young Harry, played by Eli Stevens. Young Violet, by Elowin Unziker. Young Mary, by Summer Hollis. Billy Bailey, played by Carl Siebens. The nefarious Henry F. Potter, played by Cochrane Keating. Peter Bailey, by Jim Miller. George Bailey, played by Austin Coker. Ernie, played by Ed Mendel. Sam Wainwright, played by Ted Nowlin. Old Man Collins, played by Mark Rakowski. Dr. Campbell, by Robert Menge. Matilda, played by Marianne Simpkins. Ruth Dakin Bailey, played by Jeanette Elliott. Mrs. Hatch, played by Ellen Wentworth Norris. Ed, played by Huey Freeman. Charlie, by Jerry Salfrank. Man, by Justin Klett. Horace the Teller, played by Huey Freeman. Janie, played by Karis Rakowski. Pete, played by Eli Stevens. Tommy, by Jacob Davi. Zuzu, by Esther Burns. Mr. Welch, played by David Gilliford. The Bridgekeeper, played by Reed Harvey. Nick, played by Caleb Trotter. Binky, by Mark Burns. Cop, by David Gilliford. Sheriff, played by Justin Klett. And the townspeople of Bedford Falls: Jocelyn Trask, Shirley Kolb, Mary Jo Harvey, Cora Lee Rakowski, Irilis Unziker, Molly Hergenrother, Olivia Isaacs, Annette Coker, Claire Trask. The special women's singers are the Hot Mess Quartet, which include Jody Klein, Elise Bulla, Becky McDuffie, and Patty Murphy. Theme song Whispering Hope, arrangement and piano by J.D. Miller, vocals by Tammy Renee Harris. And your crew for It's a Wonderful Life: director, Kate Freeman. Assistant to director, Ellen Wentworth Norris. Assistant to director for clerical and script monitoring, Anastasia Tulsik. Music director, John Norris. Sound effects, Jeanette Elliott, Les Joya, and Mark Burns. And your master engineer, the marvelous Mark Burns of Great News Radio. This is Freddie Fillmore signing off and saying Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Oh, listening friend, what a great broadcast. What a great time with the Great News Radio Theater Troupe. Kate Freeman did an outstanding job. John Norris, most all of that music you heard. He had three different keyboards, was original, and he played it. Tammy Renee Harris opened up. These almost 50 local cast members through lots of rehearsals and then coming to the Great News Radio Center at Lincoln Square and putting this all together for you to enjoy. If you make a donation to this radio ministry and mention you'd like a copy, we'll be happy to mail that to you. Call or write us. Our phone number is 217-367-7777. That's 217-367-7777. For our great Indiana listeners or those of you out of state maybe listening online, you can dial 1-888-333-9466. That's 1-888-333-9466. Or how about mailing in a special Christmas gift or year-end donation? Address that envelope to Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. That's Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. We're 100% listener supported, so we ask if you benefit by our broadcasts, our radio events, the Prime Lifetimes paper, our singing men or children's choir, conversational English classes, or the God-honoring broadcasts and music that bless you 24 hours a day, now would be a great time to show your appreciation. Also, as we head into this new year, if you're a man and like to sing, you can always join the singing men of GNN. Or children, if you want to join our children's choir, we'll start rehearsals again in January, beginning Thursday night the 10th. Find out more at our website, greatnewsradio.org. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.